Yesterday, Pope Francis gathered with thousands of pilgrims from all over the world in the Circus Maximus, what is left of the Roman stadium, to celebrate the golden anniversary of the Charismatic Catholic Renewal. As you know, we have also in our parish groups of the Charismatic movement. As a matter of fact, today in the afternoon, many of our parishioners will gather in Paisley to celebrate, also to commemorate the golden jubilee of the Charismatic Renewal. Last night, a group of parishioners also had a vigil all night here in Gleason Hall. They prayed and sang and had adoration all night. And when I saw them this morning early, yes, they were kind of sleepy, but I couldn't but notice the excitement, the joy, the energy. And that's typical of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's the golden anniversary. It was February of 1967 when a group of young students from Duquesne University in Pittsburgh decided to have a weekend of prayer, a retreat, if you wish. And they prayed, they invoked the Holy Spirit, and they received it. They received gifts of the Holy Spirit. They felt His presence like never before. And that was the beginning of a charismatic revolution in the Catholic Church. There are charismatic groups everywhere. But let's step back for a moment. How was this possible? It was possible because of an older pope, Pope Saint John the 23rd. He was elected in 1958, if I'm not mistaken. He was already 77 years old when he was elected to the papacy. And he was considered an interim pope. You know, he didn't have much time. He was a conservative, so nobody expected him to rock the boat. But he did. He called for an ecumenical council. And he said, and I quote, "It's time to open wide the windows of the church to let in the fresh air of the Holy Spirit." And he told his brothers, bishops, he said, "We are not museum keepers. We are gardeners. We must make things grow." And it was indeed the beginning of what would become the Second Vatican Council, a council that that marked a real revolution in the Catholic Church, especially a pneumatic revolution, pneuma, the Spirit. Ever since then, not only the charismatic renewal, but the whole church has been rediscovering the beauty and work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, that renews in us grace day by day. It is when we are moved by the Spirit that our gathering become alive. It's so sad sometimes to visit communities that are dead. That reminds me of that story of a dead parish. It had become famous or infamous within the diocese, a small parish in a small town where priests wouldn't last. They would quit in short order. Why? Because parishioners had lost the Spirit. The bishop once again tried by sending a young, energetic priest. And what he did, he spent the first month visiting every single parishioner, every household in the parish. He wanted to get to know them personally and to listen to them. They all complained, "Our parish is dead. Our parish is dead. Nothing happens. The liturgies are boring. My neighbors are mean." But the priest invited them, "Don't give up. Let's come back. Let's pray the Holy Spirit. let us allow this driving wind to push us forward. In spite of all these efforts, though, Sunday after Sunday, attendance was very poor in church. So finally, he decided to put an announcement in the local newspaper. And he said, well, the parish is dead. I think it's our duty to give it a proper Christian burial. I invite you for the funeral of our parish next Sunday. Well, curiosity moved a lot of people. The church was packed that day. And when they walked into church, they saw a coffin at the foot of the altar, closed and covered with flowers. They were all curious what's inside. At the end of Mass, the priest descended from the altar, removed the flowers, and opened the coffin and invited everyone to come and pay their last respects. So all the mourners approached the coffin, peeped inside, and went away. So what did they see inside? There was a mirror. People saw their own face. The church is dead when we are dead. When we think that we are only spectators. I go to church, but you know, I don't want to get involved. That's not certainly the attitude of those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit pushes you forward, inspires you, sets your heart on fire. That's what it did with the apostles. They were afraid, confused, ignorant, until the Spirit came. And when Jesus breathed on them, as we heard in the Gospel, when Pentecost came, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, they were transformed. And we all know, we know it when we meet someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit. I have experienced the Holy Spirit in beautiful liturgies where everyone vibrates under the action of the Spirit. The Word of God becomes alive. It's not just an old book that we read from. It becomes my own Word. The Word that God is speaking to me, it becomes alive because of the Holy Spirit. The Eucharist is also a Spirit-filled, a spiritual moment. At the Epiclesis, the invocation of the Holy Spirit, the priest asks the Lord, send down your Spirit like dewfall so that the bread and wine may become the body and blood of Christ. It is the Spirit that does it. It is the Spirit in the confessional that gives absolution of sins. It is the Spirit that unites a man and a woman in marriage. It is the Spirit that moves us when we pray, when we, in all sincerity, reach out to the Lord and we feel touched by Him. It's the Spirit in you. It's the Spirit, most of all, that raises charisms, gifts, ministries. A parish that is moved by the Spirit, it's a parish that flourishes with ministries, with services, because no one is a spectator. We all become protagonists when the Spirit is in us. So today is indeed a great solemn feast. It's our feast. It's our birthday. The church was born with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. A church that we profess in the Creed to be one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And these four marks of the church are all the result of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that makes us one. We heard in the second reading today, Paul saying, you know, we are like the body, many parts, but one Spirit. Every prayer we make in church ends by saying, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that makes unity. And this, by the way, is the criterion by which we can discern the spirits. If it causes, anything causes disunion, separation, it's not the Spirit, that's for sure. The Spirit brings us in communion, makes us one, and makes us holy. This is the trademark of the Catholic Church. We are members of this church because what we are longing for is holiness. We are not about anything else. The only vocation we all share is vocation to holiness. That's the business of the church, make people holy. How? Through the Holy Spirit. A different kind of holiness. Someone is holy and retreats to a life of contemplation and silence. And someone is holy and instead is pushed forward to great deeds of mercy, great works of solidarity. So the Spirit is the one that makes us holy, though sinners, but makes us holy and empowers us to become perfect as the Father is perfect. It is the Spirit that makes the Church Catholic. And we heard that today in the first reading, the Acts of the Apostles. Catholic, kata holos in Greek, means universal, about everything, everybody. And that's beautiful because in the unity of the Church, there is no uniformity. There is diversity. As the Pope was saying yesterday in Rome, it is a redeemed diversity. A diversity that unites us and makes us rich with each other's gifts. So we are Catholic, not only because we are extended all over the world, but we are Catholic because in every place where the Catholic Church is, we have a heart for all. No one is excluded. And finally, we are an apostolic church. Apostellein in Greek means to send. We are a missionary church. We are sent. Pope Paul VI, I believe, said once, "It is not correct to say that the church has a mission. We should say that the mission has a church. The mission comes first. And the church exists only to embody and to push forward the mission. We are all missionaries. At the end of Mass, we are all sent. The very word Mass comes from Missa, mission. We come to Mass to be sent as apostles. We are an apostolic church. So today, let us pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that each one of us may discover his or her charisms, the gifts that God has given only to you for the service of the church, that we may grow and continue to be more and more the church that is one, that is holy, that is Catholic and apostolic. Amen.